Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with me again as we're continuing on in Romans chapter 15. And like our normal style and our normal snail's pace of going through scripture, we got through one verse yesterday. And what I mean by got through one verse yesterday is we began to talk about the first verse of Romans 15. And we began to talk about yesterday. I want to encourage you to go back and listen. But just a little recap, if you weren't with us yesterday, we began this section of Romans where the title was Please Others, Not Yourselves. So we're saying, okay, we know this is going to be challenging, to say there is actually a way. And I find myself so constantly challenged with this. And I think, you know, the Lord has been bringing to mind for me how much he's been showing me how many thoughts a day I have about myself, how like basically the running narrative, the running thing in my mind is about me and about what I'm doing and about what other people are thinking of me and about how I feel and about all of this kind of stuff. And friends, if you're anything like me, which I suspect that maybe you are, is it just takes so much for us to see outside of ourselves, like habitually. And so much of the project of virtue is allowing the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts to reorient over and over again our hearts and our minds towards others, towards Jesus first and then towards others. And I hope that before I die, I can get to a place where even if it's just 51% versus 49%, even if I'm just 1% more looking outward than I'm looking inward. And this is part of what Paul's trying to teach us. This is part of what the scriptures are trying to teach us, is every single day, not in condemnation, not in working my way to it, but in a place of surrender and then responding to grace through actions to say, how can I habituate my heart? How can I recenter my heart so I'm facing others today? And this is a battle. And I'm so convicted by these passages that we're reading because I feel like I've been in this battle with my heart. It's this battle against selfishness. And it really every day in the spiritual life is a battle. And friends, the Holy Spirit and the Lord and Paul in these writings is trying to convince us to say the battle is worth it to cooperate with the Holy Spirit so we can be a person for others. How do we become a person for others? Bishop Barron had a really good homily at one of his Sunday homilies recently, was just exactly that title, becoming a person for others. And so this is the project of what we're trying to do. And so let's go ahead and pray. And then we're going to talk again about what does it mean? We talked about yesterday, bearing, the beginning of becoming a person for others is enduring with one another, bearing each other's faults, bearing each other's weaknesses. So go ahead and join me in prayer. And then we're going to read God's word and continue on and what he's speaking to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to look like you. We want to walk like you. We want to talk like you. And there's a way that I'm so convicted by the chasm that stands between who I am and who you are. There's a way, Lord, that I'm so convicted about the orientation of my heart being so clearly oriented towards me. There's a conviction in me, Lord, about how I want to be holy, how I want to live a life for others. And I know those who are listening have that conviction as well. And so, Lord, we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit to just soak us through in your spirit so we may begin to look outwardly. We may begin to look like you. That today would start a new way of transformation, to walk with you, to talk with you, to be like you. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to read that chunk of scripture again, and then we're going to go from there, seeing what God is saying to us. Romans 15, verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to edify him. For Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that by the steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Amen. Amen. I was just going to keep going there. I was getting so caught up in the word. I was just going to finish the chapter, which is very long. And that would have been a big, big chunk of scripture. But again, we left off in this very convicting verse. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. And so we talked about there's these extremes. There's the one extreme of letting sin slide, of saying, you know what, I'm never going to comment on someone's weaknesses. I'm never going to hold somebody accountable. I'm just going to kind of be living kind of in this fantasy world. And God speaks against that. Paul speaks against that. Right? There's a lot of places where he talks about not tolerating sin. He talks about in Corinthians, do you not know a little leaven leavens the whole lump? He says in 1 Corinthians, do not associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality. Like, that's intense. Romans 5, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Instead, expose them. Romans 12, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. 2 Timothy, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Titus 2, the grace of God trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. Matthew 18, this is Jesus' words himself. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. These are all passages saying, don't tolerate sin. Don't sit there and say like, oh, it's okay or whatever. Or we're just not going to tell them. But here's the thing that Paul, I think the distinction that helps us live in the tension, he's saying, don't tolerate. He's not saying don't tolerate the sinner. He's saying don't tolerate the sin. And so there's a way in which we need to bear the people who have the weaknesses. Somebody is not their weaknesses. I know for sure for me, I don't want to be seen as my weaknesses. And to say, how do we bear with the people? How do we bear with the person to see them as God sees them? You know, I'm so convicted by the way Jesus does this in the Gospels, and particularly the way he does it with Peter. You know, you have Peter standing before him saying like, Lord, I will never betray you. And something so convicting is Jesus knows that Peter will betray him. And he says to him, he says, Simon Peter, Satan has demanded to test you, to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you so that when you turn back, you may strengthen your brothers. So even in this moment where Jesus knows the weakness that will befall Peter, he knows how deeply he will sin. He knows how deeply he will betray him. He knows what will happen. And he says, but Peter, I see you. And yeah, you're going to fall into this weakness, but when you turn back, this is who you are. And that's a struggle for me, particularly when people have hurt me, friends. And as I was praying with this, I felt like the Lord said this to me. He said, you should never have more frustration over the sins of others than over your own sin. Whew. But what about if that person's is worse? No. God's saying, be concerned about your sin. Not Moses, the one who liberated everybody from Egypt, but Moses the Black, he was that was his name. He was an Ethiopian desert father. And whenever they would approach him about other people's sins, he would say, I only approach other people's sins while carrying the weight and the reminder of my own. So it's this conviction to say, how do we actually properly hold this tension of not tolerating, of not letting go? Or like letting go of people's sins, but properly walking with people and saying like, hey, like this was sinful. Hey, like this wasn't great, you know? But at the same time, not judging, not being too intense, not like having this frustration because frustration, friends, we can just get in this place where we just see and we see and we see and we're like, well, this person's sin. Or even when we hear about something scandalous, like, yes, we should be scandalized, but then we're like, oh my gosh, like, that's so insane. And then we kind of like are separating ourselves. We're separating ourselves from that. We're separating ourselves from like loving that other person. And so this is a really good thing to say, like, am I approaching this person with more anger about their sin than I do about my own? Am I approaching this person with more frustration over their sin than I do about my own? Because our sin should bug us more than the sins of other people. And this, I think, allows us to open our hearts with compassion to say, like, yeah, I'm going to call that out because it's harming you. It's harming other people. And I want you to be holy while also not walking with like a disgust and not walking with a judgment. And friends, I think this is a way that we can particularly endure weaknesses and hardship and sins of people that are walking with really serious sin. And receiving that. You know, I was speaking at a conference recently with a beautiful friend who was also speaking. It was a women's conference, and this beautiful friend, Anna Carter, who runs an amazing ministry called Eden Invitation. And she was speaking about the work that the Lord did in her own life with just her own pride and rooting out her own pride and like religiosity and just like those places where she was judging others in a bad way and kind of holding herself. And this is what I do. I can sometimes hold myself above as a way of protecting myself so that I'm not convicted. And she was saying this, and she was saying, if the Lord hadn't done that work in my heart, I wouldn't have been in a place where I was prepared to actually receive very broken people in very broken places of their stories. And friends, the Lord wants us to walk with people. He wants us to endure. And that means don't give up. And sometimes you might not be called, that person that you're having a really bad struggle with, you might not be called to like walk with them as the person that's like carrying their burdens. But have you given up on them in your mind and in your heart? Have you said, I mean, there's situations where I've said like, this person can't change. This is not going to change. I'm saying like literally in the last week, I've had these frustrations. And friends, the Lord is convicting me so much. And I hope he's convicting you to say, allow the Holy Spirit to come and convict you, to convict me of my own sin, so that I can hold gently and tenderly with full conviction about sin, the failings of those who are weak. And we need the Lord to help us. We who are strong ought to bear, ought to endure with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Sometimes when we cast people out, when we don't endure with the person, it's more about our own self. It's more about our own ego. It's more about our own frustration than it actually is about that person. And so in a way, that's pleasing ourselves. You know, there's a passage in Galatians where it talks about our freedom is an opportunity to serve one another in love instead of biting and devouring one another. And for me, I've seen when I'm coming out of this place of pride, I'm biting and I'm devouring and I'm consuming. I'm being a person that takes, not a person that gives. And so, Lord, we just ask you to show us how to bear the weaknesses of one another in a way that you would. God bless. Join us again tomorrow.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.